Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 391 of Japan Top 10, August 2021 special, Top Japanese Video Game Tracks. I'm your host, Edward.
And I'm Andy.
Let's get into it.
Well, before we jump right into our very exciting topic today, I have a short little announcement for everybody. Our 2021 annual listener survey is out, and if you give us just 5 minutes of your time to let us know how we can improve, we will give you a chance to win a $100 USD gift card to a retailer of your choice. So, for more details on that, please visit our website at jtop10.jp. Well, Edward, I see that we have such... I personally am a huge fan of video game music and, of, naturally, Japanese video game music. Do you have any special relationship to this topic?
Oh, so much relationship. I mean, how much time do we have? I mean, it's our episode. We could probably talk about this forever. We don't actually have to get into any of the songs. We can just talk about it. No, I have a lot of a huge relationship with video games. I'm a huge nerd. I'm a big, big fan of JRPGs, or Japanese role-playing games, for those that are uninitiated in the world of gaming. But, I mean, I also grew up with the whole Mario thing. Our household was a Nintendo household, so, you know, shout out to my Nintendo people. Some people were Sega households, so no tea, no shade, you know. What about you? But, yeah, I grew up with them a lot, and we'll get into the whole music aspect of it in a little bit and how that affected me and walked on my journey and shaped my path. But what about you?
Yeah, same exact course. It seems like my household was also a Nintendo household. Yes. So yeah, growing up just with the luxury of so many wonderful OSTs from original JRPGs, and I always did love obviously the iconicness of the Mario soundtrack and whatnot. So yeah, I would say most of my musical, like my day to day musical playlists, are just video game music at this point. So
nice. I love that. I have a friend of mine who does that too. He like puts it on in his bathroom. Shout out to my friend, you know who you are. He literally like will use a CD player, which is pretty old school now, especially considering what time period we're in. And he'll just like put in a disc of an OST, and then, you know, get to listen to that while you do your business. So calming.
It also
I guess really help you, because if you're listening to like, you know, Dancing Mad and you're trying to poop or something, you know, it could work. Or One Wicked Angel. Anyway, that's a little bit of Final Fantasy and poop humor brought to you by me, Edward.
Shout out to Edward for that.
Snaps to me. Okay, so just to get into a little bit about what we're talking about today in a more formal setting, our thesis, as it were. Japan has been at the forefront of gaming music ever since the Taito Corporation released Space Invaders with its continuous soundtrack back in 1978. I was not born then, and neither was Andy, but that's okay. Technology has advanced since then, and possibilities for musical arrangements in video games are now endless, with everything from full orchestral works to EDM providing the atmosphere as we attempt to rescue the heroine, find the secret treasure, or battle the boss. Or the final boss. Or Ganon. Ganon's always the boss. Spoiler alert. In this episode, we will hear some of the favorite video game tracks from the mid-1990s till the present day, as voted for by Japanese gamers on the @wiki gaming forum. Also, spoiler alert, we snuck in one of our own, just for fun. Find out which one, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I'm sure you won't be able to guess at all.
Oh, not at all. We will get so much more excited about the other... We love all of our tracks equally, all of our selections. Yes. And we want to thank Dean Staker for writing the script for this episode. Thank you, Dean.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Dean. Okay, well, I'm very excited to introduce this song. It is Reset, which is the main theme from the Okami video game. And it was released in 2006. I hope you all enjoy this lovely song. Okami was developed by Clover Studio and released on the PlayStation 2 platform in 2006. It was later made available on Wii and remastered for PlayStation 3, and has been redeveloped for PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and even the Nintendo Switch.
The game won the top award in the entertainment category of the Japan Media Arts Festival in 2006, and the Best Game Award in the Japan Game Awards in 2007.
Despite its critical acclaim, the sales figures for the game were actually quite poor, and in 2010, it was entered into the Guinness Book of World Records as the least commercially successful winner of Game of the Year award.
Wow, that is like almost like a backhanded compliment in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
The game's reputation was vindicated in 2018 when it appeared again in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most critically acclaimed video game starring an animal character. That feels like a gimme, actually. That feels like a consolation prize. Like, we're so sorry we made fun of you. Please accept this.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the eight-year guilt really got to the Guinness World Book of World Records. but Reset is sung by the singer-songwriter, as well as saxophonist and actress, Ayaka Hirahara, who has released 31 singles and 12 original albums, many of which have reached the top 10 in the Oricon charts.
So you seem very pumped about this.
Yeah,
I mean, you.
Oh no, that I'm so sorry. I was very excited to talk about it, so I'm sorry to jump the gun. No.
Oh, please go for it. School me. I did not play Okami. I know of it. I know of its wonderful, magical, mystical dog thing. That's all I know. So please tell me about it.
I mean, honestly, I don't really need to go much more into it than that, other than this game is like visual. It's such like visual candy. If you're, I know a lot of people get hung up on, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but a lot of video games now deal in like hyper-realism and things like that. And of course there are movements against that and, you know, people trying to shift away from that as well. But I think this was like the first time in my video game playing history that like a game was, I was like, this is art. It's just like the ink blot styling and like the way that art is and visual appeal is like intertwined into the gameplay using brush strokes and things like that. It's just such a unique experience, and I mean, I know it's maybe not for everyone, and I, to be truthfully honest, didn't finish the game, but I have watched, you know, Let's Plays just because the economy of time is such that I cannot finish and play every game that I'm interested in as an adult person.
Spoken like a true time traveler there, Andy. The economy of time.
Revealing more secrets. No, but I will say, if like, I really hope that everyone enjoyed this song because I think it is so beautiful and just so calming. Are you an indie Japanese music artist? If you create Japanese music and want some exposure, please get in touch with our music director, Haley, by sending an email to her at Haley, which is Haylee at jtop10.jp, along with the song you would like us to feature on the podcast.
And if you do that, you might end up talking with me, because I am one of the hosts of our indie episodes, along with our script writer for this episode, Dean. So please send in your stuff, and we could be chatting, you and I. And I would love to hear from you. I'm always down to hear new music and talk to wonderful artists. So please send in your stuff.
Yes, what an exciting opportunity.
Now we have Eyes on Me by Fei Wong from the video game franchise Final Fantasy, specifically Final Fantasy VIII.
This time songs just once more. My last night here with you. Maybe yes, maybe no. I kind of liked it your way. How you shine.
Eyes on Me was released in 1999, and it was for the Final Fantasy VIII series, which is a Japanese RPG series, and it was composed by Nobuo Uematsu, with English lyrics by Kako Someya, and it was performed by the Hong Kong pop diva herself, Fei Wong. So the song went on to sell... The song went on to sell a record-breaking 400,000 copies. It also won Song of the Year Western Music category at the 14th Annual Japan Cold Disc Awards in 1999, marking it as the first time ever a video game song has won the honor. So, we, bit of backstory for the listeners, we actually replaced a song that was originally in our script with this one because Final Fantasy means so much to me, and I know it means a lot to Andy, and we just could not do an episode without talking about it. So, Andy, please tell the listeners, what does the Final Fantasy franchise mean to you, or what does the song mean to you? Get into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, I'm sure, as we will hear from Edward later on, Final Fantasy was, like, a really big stepping into Japanese culture more broadly for me. And specifically, Final Fantasy, this is going to be very a strange call-up, but Final Fantasy Advent Children, the movie that comes after the events of Final Fantasy VII, if I am recalling correct. Yeah, so that was probably the most checked out DVD at my public library by me. I was like obsessed with it. I thought it was so beautiful. And obviously, I've always been very interested in Japanese fashion and things. And the Final Fantasy series has provided some of like the most elaborate costuming. And from that point, you know, I really got into more broadly Japanese music and like different styles of Japanese music. So I would say that just like, I think this song specifically for me is, it kind of is like the penultimate, not penultimate, but the ultimate expression of like where my Final Fantasy journey has taken me. Cause I really discovered this song once I came here in college, and I would like make it my karaoke staple. It still is to this day. I sing this song all the time in karaoke.
I love that. So, what a big old nerd you are, you time traveling human.
I know, it's so strange, but enough about me and my many foibles in time travel, and I would love to hear about what Final Fantasy has done for you as a series.
Thank you, Andy. What a lovely way to segue. So, for me, Final Fantasy, well, it was released, the original Final Fantasy was released the year I was born, 1987. I'm not saying how old I am, you can do the math, but that's fine. But, Final Fantasy VI, actually, or if you are in the West, it was originally released as Final Fantasy III with a little Mog on the cover. That was my first foray into Final Fantasy, and actually it helped my music because when I was around 8 or 9, whenever that came out, I was bored and I didn't really want to play any of my classical music anymore. So I thought, oh, I'll just play some of the Final Fantasy music that I hear using my ear. And I ended up just mastering all of the Final Fantasy VI OST back when there wasn't OST. There was probably OST discs you could buy, but only in Japan. We didn't have that in the West. So basically it was just, you know, playing Final Fantasy 3, 6 so much that I ended up just picking out the songs by osmosis. And it really helped train my ear, and it made me who I am today as a performer and a musician. So thank you, Nobuo Uematsu. Thank you, Final Fantasy VI, which is my favorite game. But also, Final Fantasy VIII is great too. I love Final Fantasy VIII. Aside from, I know people are going to rag on its battle system with the draw and all that stuff, but we're not talking about that. We could do a whole episode on Final Fantasy music, truly. This song, though, in case you don't know, if you haven't played Final Fantasy VIII, and there's a remaster version that's out now, I want to say on PS4, definitely on the Switch, so go check that out. Aizami is performed a lot throughout the game. It's actually the love theme for the two main characters, Squall and Rinoa. It's also used as a leitmotif for Laguna Loir and also for Julia Hartley, who is the pianist who originally sings the song. So it's a really great game. It's used a lot in different ways, and it's really is the theme song of the Final Fantasy VIII game. It truly is the one where you had to point at a song and be like, what song represents that of this game? It's that one for sure. Oh, what a dream, what a treat. I'm so glad we got to talk about it. Thank you.
I hope all of our listeners enjoyed that because, yeah, it was very, before we started our episode, hearing that, I was very impressed and very, like, moved by the story of your journey with this song specifically and the Final Fantasy music in the Final Fantasy series.
Thank you. Actually, it's funny. There's a lot of ties in there, too, because slight digression. But Angela Aki, the singer-songwriter who was bilingual and actually did the ending theme for Final Fantasy XII, which is Kiss Me Goodbye in English and Japanese. Shout out to her. She doesn't make music anymore, unfortunately. She's retired. But anyway, without her, I actually wouldn't have gotten into music college because... and she actually ended up covering Eyes on Me using slightly adapted English lyrics for one of the concerts. So slight diversion there, but thank you, Angela Aki, for getting me into school. That's for another episode. Want to join our team? We've got open positions that currently need to be filled. Join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for details.
Okay, and I'm sure many of our listeners are waiting eagerly in anticipation for this track that I'm about to drop on all of you. It is, of course, Jump Up Superstar from Super Mario Odyssey from 2017.
Oh,
Jump Up Superstar, together with Break Free, Lead the Way, is one of two songs that feature in the Super Mario Odyssey game, which was released in 2017.
Just like Break Free, Lead the Way, the Japanese version of this song is sung by Aimi Mukuhara.
The English version of the song, sung by voice actress Kate Davis, actually charted in the iTunes download charts upon its release.
There you go, another track making history. Video games are just getting everywhere, yo. The song features sound effects from the Super Mario Brothers game. So, I'm not gonna lie, for me, this song, when I hear it, I break out into hives, because if you have played the Super Mario or Smash Brothers, the latest incarnation of it, on the Switch, in the single player or one player adventure mode, there is a challenge you have to do involving, I believe, Princess Peach, or maybe it's Mario, one or the other. But you're in the old school Donkey Kong stage, and you have to do this like super hard challenge where everyone's trying to kill you, and they can like one shot KO you basically. Mm-hmm. And this is a song that you hear. So now, in my nightmares, all I hear is "Jump into the air," and I'm like, ah!
Oh no, I'm so sorry to hear that, because when I hear this song, I like this song is engineered so well, because I am ready to do every single thing on my to do list when I hear this song.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it pumps me up in a way that no other song from the Mario franchise has in a long time.
Really? Not like the... Well, oh, in a long time. I was going to say, I'm like, I don't know, that Starman theme. Just like...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no. But yes, in like a newer iteration of the Mario music, this is definitely at the top for me in terms of pump-up jams.
Absolutely. It's such a well-composed game, truly, musically.
Yes, no, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Would you like to hear double or even triple the amount of songs that you have just heard on this episode? If so, join our Patreon club and become a Patreon star or Patreon platinum donor to get respectively double or triple the amount of songs on this episode. Not only songs, but also anecdotes and wonderful jokes and humor from Edward and I. No. But for full details on how you can join and get more content from us, please see our site at jtop10.jp/club.
Our last song of the day is Subarashiki Shinsekai, Brave New World, the theme song from Namco Cross Capcom, released in 2005.
Chiru kage,
Namco Cross Capcom, as the game title suggests, is a collaboration between Namco and Capcom game companies, featuring characters from their popular games. It was released on the PlayStation 2 platform in 2005.
Over 200 characters feature in this game, including new, specially created characters and characters from previous games.
Subarashiki Shinsekai was composed by Yuzo Koshiro, a composer and producer who mainly works in the computer game industry and has worked on many projects including Star Wars Attack on the Death Star, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dance Dance Revolution, the Super Smash Bros. Series, and the Bare Knuckle series.
I will just go on record and say that I think Namco and Capcom, I mean, of course, we've talked about, you know, Square's endeavors with Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy and everything, but I really do think Namco and Capcom have spectacular game music as well. It cannot be understated.
Absolutely, I would agree. I mean, Capcom, Mega Man, or yeah. Rockman, if you're feeling nasty.
if you're feeling nasty.
It's got such good stuff. Always, every day. Absolutely. Actually, it's very interesting that Yuzo Koshiro, they did Sonic the Hedgehog and Dance Dance Revolution. Mm-hmm. Dance Dance Revolution actually is very fascinating because if you've played it at all, in the Western world, we only have it in arcades, really. It's not something that really ever caught on in, like, a home format. So the only songs I would ever hear are, like, you know, the first couple of them when you're walking by the machines to other machines. And or if you're playing it, you only hear a couple of them because you only have so many credits. And it's interesting to know that, like, someone helped compose that game. Because you think it'd be more of just a, you know, I'm going to pick this one and this one and this one and this one. And that's kind of it. So I'm going to do more research on that and find out what was the contribution there, because that's kind of fascinating to me.
Can I actually say something controversial yet brave?
Go ahead, go for it, Tracy.
I think Dance Dance Revolution, I had it, like, me and all of my friends had it at home, primarily the one for PlayStation 2, you know, like the little dance pad. Maybe you aren't aware of this, but this was huge for me and my friend group. So a lot of these songs that are, like you're saying, specifically composed for each installment of the game, like, yeah, it is interesting, but yeah, you don't know, I actually don't know them outside of that game, so like when I go to play it or if I hear it in passing at the arcade, I get really jazzed and like it triggers something within me to make me want to like go run and jump around and play that game again. But I think, like you're saying though, I totally get like that for an average of the Dance Revolution franchise, yeah, it does not make quite so much sense, like, why so many songs are being composed. But, you know, that's a huge thing here with rhythm games. There's so many composers that exclusively make games for arcade exclusively make songs for arcade cabinets that will maybe be heard by, like, 0.05 of the population. 5% of the population.
But that 0.05%, they get super hyped and super jazzed for listening to it. Like, it's not like the music, I'm not saying the music is bad or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's just that it's all very EDM-y, and I'm like, I don't know if I would ever hear this in the club. If we did hear it in the club, though, could you imagine what would happen? Everyone would just be on their own imaginary dance pad, just going, like,
going
left
nuts.
And right, up and down. I'm going to hold it here. That'd be so good if that happened. Oh, it'd be very funny.
I love it. I love it. Well, on that note, I just want to drop one, like, of my personal recommendations, and I would love to hear a personal game music recommendation before we close out this episode from you. So get the gears working if you have something that you would like to introduce to people. Mine is going to be Ridge Racer Type 4, which is a Namco game from, like, 1998, I think. It's a racing game. That has, like, the chillest, coolest, kind of undergroundy, EDM-y, techno-y soundtrack that I just love. It helps me get everything I need done in a calm, cool, collected manner, but I recommend it to everybody if you are even remotely interested in, like, kind of this dance-type music. Please check out Ridge Racer Type 4 OST. Do you have any recommendations?
Ridge Racer the one that's, like, it's okay. is Ridge Racer the one that's like, Ridge Racer, is that it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, yeah. So
cool. I know of that reference, but I have not played it, but I'll definitely go check that out. It sounds super cool.
Yes.
I'm going to recommend a OST that also has a fantastic storyline, and if you know me at all about storylines, it takes a special kind of game to get me hooked into a storyline. I'm not going to lie. I've beaten Final Fantasy XII. I'm being controversial yet brave. Hashtag Tracy Martell.
Thank you, Tracy Martell.
Thank you, Tracy Martell. I beat Final Fantasy XII, but I skipped every single cutscene. I was using the Zodiac Age. I know. I was using the Zodiac Age version of it, and it was just like, there's a 4x fast-forward button for battles, and all the gambits are already unlocked, and I could skip all the cutscenes? Sign me up. So, yeah. Sorry about that. But it was a fun game. I still enjoyed it. The story did not grab me. But I'm not talking about Final Fantasy XII. I'm actually talking about a game, actually a franchise, that really grabbed me musically first, and then when I played it, I was instantly hooked. The story is gorgeous. The graphics are gorgeous. Everything is gorgeous. I'm talking about Nier Automata, and also the now released, or soon to be released, I can't remember, Nier Replicant or Nier Gestalt. So Nier Gestalt and Nier Replicant came out a lot earlier. I want to say it was for the PlayStation 2. The music in that game is amazing. It's the same composer who did Vagrant Hearts, Vagrant Story, Vagrant War, something Vagrant. I'm so sorry, I'm screwing stuff right now. But you know who you are. But the OST for Nier Replicant / Gestalt, which is basically the same game, just a slightly different protagonist, no spoilers. Or for Nier Automata, which is a different game involving our plucky heroine to be, that has gorgeous music, so good to study to, or if you're me, so good to play League of Legends to. And it's really fantastic. I highly recommend it. The ending themes are so good. They're so well composed. The chord progressions are so interesting. It's got really good imagery. It's very evocative. It's good for studying. It's good for all sorts of things. So please, either go and play it, which I highly recommend. Nier Automata is definitely a challenging game. It's a character action RPG kind of a thing. But you can always set it on easy mode and play it for the story, which is fantastic. So go check that out. Or go check out Nier Gestalt and Nier Replicant. And but at the very least, go find the OSTs online. You can search them up on YouTube, or pay an artist and go and download them. And please check it out. You will not be disappointed.
Perfect. Well, there you have it. You have our wonderful countdown list, as well as a couple of personal recommendations. So I hope you have all enjoyed our foray into Japanese video game music. Hopefully it won't be our last. I really enjoyed my time with you, Edward, today.
Aw, thank you, Andy. I really enjoyed my time with you, and I hope we get to do another episode like this again, because we've truly only scratched the surface of video game music. There is so much to talk about.
Oh yes, most definitely. Well, thankfully for our listeners, this is not the end of our journey. You can look forward to Haru, who will bring you a brand new Patreon exclusive top 10 episode at the end of August. She will see you in about a week from now. So for all of our listeners, a brand new Artist of the Month episode will actually be released, featuring the artist Yoasobi. And I'm very excited to announce that will also be hosted by our wonderful Haru and me. So we will see you in the beginning of September with Yoasobi.
Ah, what a dream, what a treat. Andy, I've learned so much about you this episode. I learned that you like Ridge Racer. I learned that you are a time traveler. I learned that you really like DDR. It's just, it's always a pleasure.
Yes, always a pleasure. And likewise, I've learned so much, like how you are personally indebted to Angela Aki, and your deep, deep love and knowledge about the musical composition of Final Fantasy VI. So, onions, we are revealing layers, and we will continue to reveal in our next episodes. So, everybody, thank you for listening.
I'm Edward.
And I'm Andy, and we'll catch you on the next one. Jane.
Jane.
Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.